Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. It has been 19 years since the Americans with Disabilities Act was passed. Way back in 1990, the civil rights law prohibits discrimination against people with disabilities in all areas of public life, including employment. Well, October is National Disability Employment Awareness Month, and tonight we're going to examine how far we've come when it comes to employment for people with disabilities. My guests are Andrew Reese. He is director of the D.C. Department on Disability Services. Jeff Swilly is the executive vice president with Employed Prince George's. And Robin Akinwale. Robin is WHUR's digital coordinator. Now, Robin has an arm disability, but she does not consider herself disabled. We're going to hear Robin's story in just a bit. If you have a question or comment about employment and disabilities, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. And certainly listen up, because if you are looking for a job and you have a disability, this is definitely the program for you. Andrew, Jeffrey, Robin, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
You're very welcome.
Okay, so first, let me ask you, Andrew, from your perspective, are people with disabilities getting a fair shake when it comes to employment these days?
Generally, I'd say yes. People with disabilities in some respects are doing very well. We do have issues in the district. The employment rate for people with disabilities is less than half the employment rate for people who don't have disabilities. So we are still confronting some issues of bias by people, of concerns people have about hiring a person with disabilities. So we do still have work to do, but there are definitely opportunities. Many people with disabilities have obtained employment, are succeeding in employment, are doing quite well. We, in fact, in the district have a special program in the district government to bring people with disabilities into the district government. We are trying to be a model employer of people with disabilities. And one of the people who graduated from that program in our first cohort has recently bought her own home. So this is a young person recently out of high school, entered this program, began working, and is now an independent, self-sufficient district resident with a job with the district government. So there are opportunities.
Does it depend, in your opinion, does it often depend on what a disability may be from person to person, whether some issues may be more severe than others that may contribute to the bias that people often see?
It absolutely does. We work with people with the whole range of disabilities, but you know, you also need to look at this year, National Disability Employment Awareness Month's theme is the right talent right now. And the focus of that for us has been on looking at everyone's talent, looking at what they bring, as opposed to looking at the disability. Let's look at the strengths. Let's recognize what it is that person brings. And one of the things that we really work on when we're engaging with employers in the community is making sure that we reach out to them and identify for them how this person with a disability, what strengths and abilities they bring, and how they will help that workplace, not asking them to do us a favor by hiring this person with a disability.
You know, The Employed Prince George's is working on something rather special, Jeffrey, as it relates to trying to address this issue. What are you doing?
Yes, in collaboration with the National Disability Employment Awareness Month that was sponsored or entered into by the Department of Labor and Maryland Department of Labor, we've been able to have a series of workshops to support our customers with disabilities, helping with sensitivity training for employers to come in and talk about those issues. Also, we had some accommodation discussions, the special accommodations that may be required by employers when a request is made. And we also had a career readiness workshop during the month of October. But the culmination of all of those workshops will be our job fair tomorrow, Disabilities Job Fair, which will take place at 8:30 to 1 p.m. in Largo, 1801 McCormick Drive in Largo, 20774. We have a number of employers who are partnering with us, and they're offering employment opportunities for persons with disabilities.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk a little bit more about that, but I want to get Robin into this conversation. Because Robin, you have something called ectrodactyly. It's a disability of your right hand and arm, but you don't consider yourself disabled.
I don't. So Harold, you know, we work together. I've never considered myself disabled. I come from a household with a mom who's a Southern mother. I'm sorry. I also am a mother.
Yes,
so
I hear.
My 3-year-old. I apologize. But, you know, my mom is from Maysville, South Carolina. I have a dad from Nigeria. So I came from a pretty strict household. My parents never put limitations on me growing up. So I grew up, I believe, just like every other child. I was afforded every opportunity. I was involved in sports. I actually played tennis very well when I was young. I was driving at the age of 16. I never really had limitations, never considered myself disabled. Actually, until about 3 years ago when I had my daughter, I always considered myself differently abled because I was able to do everything anyone else can do, just differently.
Mm-hmm. You know, and one of the things, since you've been, you know, working here, you're probably one of the newer employees here, but you've been working here at the radio station for over a year now. And, you know, I've seen, you know, your arm and your hand and really never gave it a second thought. Was it ever a concern for you when you were applying for jobs?
Never, never. I've actually been working in radio for about 15 years. I've never had an issue with it. I don't believe, honestly, I don't believe that the employer ever considered my disability. I always focused on my strengths and my talents. And from my understanding, that was why I was hired for various positions. But I never put my disability in the forefront at all.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tonight we're examining how far we've come when it comes to employment for people with disabilities. If you have a comment or if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You know, Andrew, she mentioned the term differently abled. Explain that term, if you can.
Well, it's just recognizing, as she also said, she got this job because she had the right talents for it. And that's exactly the theme of NDEAM this year, which is the right talent. And Robin came here and had these talents. And so when they talk about differently abled, it's the focus is on what I can do. All of us have limitations. All of us get some kind of accommodation at work. There may be something I need help with at work, and I ask the person for help. We don't call that an accommodation because it's not related to a disability. But if we start to recognize that we all have strengths and we all have limitations and we all have things that we may need assistance with, then we can recognize that employing people with disabilities is just like employing everyone else. You try to find the right talent for the right job.
Jeffrey, what kind of conversations has your organization had with employers as you try to make sure that the jobs are available to everyone?
Well, I have to concur with Andrew that most employers are looking for talent and skills to meet the demands of the job vacancies that they have. If a person can prove that they are sufficient in the skill sets that are being requested, then that's what most employers are seeking. They also provide opportunities for learning on the job as well. Most employers that we're encountering and having conversations with, they're looking basically for diversity. They want a mirror image of the community that they're providing services and resources in and opportunities for residents within those communities to be employed by their organization. So if anyone has the skill sets necessary to fulfill those job requirements, then they may be able to find a job with that employer.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Twana, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Twana, are you there?
Yes.
Go right ahead, please.
So I wanted to know more about, one, the job fair tomorrow, and two, is it applying for D.C. government jobs? You mentioned applying for D.C. government jobs. Is this similar to applying for the federal government, where you need to submit a Schedule A letter? Can you guys talk more about the disability job fair for tomorrow, as well as District Gov of Columbia? How do you tap into those positions?
Okay, well, first,
and that would include the public school system.
Okay, well, first, let me have Jeffrey handle the first part. Again, give the information about the job fair.
Sure. Again, the job fair is going to take place tomorrow from 8:30 to 1 p.m. in Largo, Maryland at 1801 McCormick Drive. We have a number of employers that are coming in from the federal government, local government, Prince George's Office of Human Resources Management. We also have various private sector employers who are going to be on site to greet individuals for employment opportunities. Some employers have special, on-site applications that are required. Some will be taking resumes as well. But we ask that you come out and participate. I can't really tell you exactly which employers are providing applications or requiring online applications, but in today's era, most employers are requiring some type of online application. Mm-hmm. But those are the types of employers we have. We have hospitality employers. We also have professional services opportunities. So there's various types of employment opportunities that will be available tomorrow.
Okay. Andrew, the other question she was asking is, applying for jobs in the district government similar to applying for federal government jobs?
The district does not have the Schedule A hiring authority like the federal government does. We do have accepted service where people can be brought in, and it includes for people with disabilities. There are a couple of different routes that people could take if they're interested in employment with the district government. One is online. They can see all available jobs at dchr.dc.gov. We, in fact, now have a disability employment specialist who works with DCHR, and she's there to help both district government agencies ensure that we're providing proper accommodations for everyone who already works for us and doing recruitment of people with disabilities for open positions. For people who are district residents who get services from our Rehabilitation Services Administration, we do have a program called the Aspiring Professionals Program, which is a program where we are trying to, through an internship, bring people into the district government. And so through that program, people can get a 6-month internship, which is paid with a district government agency. And the idea is that they would then move into full-time employment with the district government. Our first cohort last year, out of 20 people, 12 are now full-time district government employees.
So I want to mention something called a Schedule A. For those who are not familiar with that, what does that mean?
So for the federal government, they have what's called Schedule A hiring authority, which means that a person with a disability that's been certified by a medical professional or by the local rehabilitation services agency, they can skip over all of that bureaucracy of hiring in the federal government. So they are allowed to do what are called direct hires, and they don't have to go through all the selection process of people without disabilities.
Tawana, thank you. Go right ahead.
Just also want to mention, we do have a web address if you want to have additional information about the job fair. That's employpg.org/events. You can visit that website to gain more information and register for the event.
And, of course, that information will be posted on our website after 8:30 on WHUR.com. Tawana, thank you so much for your phone call. I've got about a minute left. Robin, I'm going to let you have the last word before the break. Robin, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm sorry.
I was saying I was going to let you have the last word before the break.
Okay. Yeah, I was just saying that I agree with, I'm sorry, the other gentleman that's on as well, that, you know, many times people with individuals are afforded, definitely are afforded the same opportunities as an able-bodied individual if we just focus more on their strengths and their talents and what they can bring to the team. You know, then that we will have a better work environment, you know? So, thank you. Thank you for letting me be a part of it.
Oh, absolutely. I understand you can stay a little bit longer. And as you always say, it doesn't help to have a sense of humor either, because you're a riot. But, Robin, you know, I love you. We're going to take a break in just a bit. We want to continue this conversation about employment and people with disabilities. What are your options, and how do you know if indeed you are being discriminated against because of your disability? How far we've come. Stay with us at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM Channel 141. And we're still taking your phone calls. Give us a call if you have a question or comment at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're taking a look at how far we've come when it comes to employment for people with disabilities. My guests are Andrew Reese. He is director of the D.C. Department on Disability Services. Jeffrey Swilly. He is the executive vice president with Employed Prince George's. And Robin Akinwale. She is WHUR's digital coordinator. And she has an arm disability, but does not consider herself disabled. Lines are open if you have a comment or a question at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So, how do you know, Andrew, if you are being discriminated against because of a disability? I would imagine it is probably just as challenging to approve if you are being discriminated against based on race or gender or national origin or anything else.
You know, sometimes it is just as difficult. You have this suspicion, am I being treated differently or not? And sometimes, because people don't understand that there are protections, they can be very blatant about their discrimination. I can think of one specific incident that comes to mind was a young man who had been hired to be a busboy in a restaurant and was trained, could manage the physical things he needed to manage, but also had a disability with his arms that made it difficult for him to turn them. And so busing the tables was a little challenging, but it just meant that there was a little accommodation needed in how he bussed them so that he could have the cart here, there, and move the things onto the cart rather than carry them on a tray, because his hand didn't turn around to be able to hold the tray with his flat palm. Mm-hmm. And it was a simple accommodation that was required. But the manager in the restaurant said to the person who had helped with his hiring, "This is the kind of thing you should have told me before we hired him."
Wow.
And she didn't realize that what she was saying is against the law. You're not required to disclose a disability before the hiring decision is made. After the decision is made, you disclose and have a discussion about what accommodation might be needed so that you can perform the job. Because as long as you are otherwise qualified to do the work, then they have to provide the accommodation.
Do employers understand in 2019, Jeffrey, that they have to be accommodating, that it's not about being altruistic, but it is indeed the law, big or small businesses?
Yes, I think most of your mid-sized to larger companies are aware because they have HR departments. But as you know, most of the employment opportunities are with your small businesses, one-man operations from a leadership standpoint. So that individual may not be totally aware. That's why, for instance, we had this seminar in regards to sensitivity training as well as accommodations for persons with disabilities, so we can bring about that awareness with the small businesses that we encounter. But we have those conversations as well. We direct them to our Department of Rehabilitative Services as well to have those conversations so they can be better informed and equipped to deal with those situations.
And something important to know, this is I think employers are often afraid when they hear the person's going to need an accommodation. On average, accommodations cost less than $500. We had a good example of a young man with an intellectual disability who worked in a hotel cleaning rooms. And when he had several days off, when he would return to work, he wasn't as sure of what tasks to do when. And so the accommodation they provided is one day someone went around and took pictures of him doing the different tasks and put them up on a board in order so that when he returned to work after a few days, he looked at the board and he knew what he needed to do. That was an accommodation that cost less than $5 and less than 3 feet of wall space.
That's much, much cheaper than $500.
Exactly.
So, and very, very little energy. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Jake, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Jake. What's on your mind?
How you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
The question is basically, we say the word disability, but where can we search for, like, what types of disability companies cannot discriminate against? Because I know there's a bunch of disabilities out there, but what are, like, a website to just narrow it down to just help us out, you know?
That's a really interesting question about what disabilities they can and cannot discriminate against. The answer, the short answer is none.
Right. There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the easiest would be to Google Americans with Disabilities Act, and that will give you information about the protections that exist for all people with disabilities.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Because I have what is called hyperchondriasis. It's like kind of like sweating. Some people would say, like, that's kind of like a disability, but some people would say it's not because it's kind of like a gene-type thing where I sweat a lot on my palms. So is that something you could say, you know, as could be considered as a disability? I'm not too sure.
A disability is any impairment that affects a major life function. So...
Mm-hmm. But I think that's interesting because... We're not talking about someone who perhaps has a prosthesis, someone who may have an intellectual disability, and so I think that is a really particular case, and highly specific. I mean, how do you address that?
Well, you know, if
and
someone,
I don't mean the medical part, but I mean the job part.
Correct. And first of all, if someone believes that they are being discriminated against, there are protections and they should seek those protections, Equal Employment Opportunities Commission or the EEO officer at whatever job they have. The other thing is the ADA protects people with disabilities and people perceived to have a disability. So whether it actually constitutes a disability doesn't matter if it's perceived to be a disability and there were discrimination based on that.
Jake, thank you so much for calling us. I appreciate your interest in this conversation. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Robin, wanted to bring you back into the conversation. Was there ever a time when you believed that either you were discriminated against or may have had some specific challenges regarding employment during the course of your professional career?
To be honest, I don't. I don't believe that I've ever been discriminated against. I've never had to request any special accommodations for my disability. And I just want to briefly explain what my disability is for those who may not be familiar with the condition. So I have two fingers on my right hand, and it appears as if it's like a lobster claw, and my right arm does not fully extend. And in my role with WHUR, I carry, video equipment, cameras, video cameras. I record video and do photography and managing the website and things of that nature. And I've never had to request. I've been asked during the interview process, do I need any special accommodations? And I've never had to take advantage of those. I've adapted well to my disability because that's all I've known my entire life. So I just do things a little differently. But to my knowledge, I've been fortunate enough where I cannot say that I've been discriminated against.
Mm. And you do type. I mean, I've seen you, in your office. Yeah,
Pretty fast too.
I told you she was hilarious. Yeah, yes, she does. Probably types faster than I do. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Deborah, I believe it is, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Deborah. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a son who attends Salisbury University. And he's currently in his last year, but before he graduates, he has to complete an internship for physical therapy into sports athletics. And I heard you mention something in your conversation about if there are internship programs. Was the caller referring to maybe just people with disabilities, or how can you kind of like give me some information about that?
Yeah, I think she was talking about you, Andrew, and that program that you were discussing.
So we have an internship with the district government for people who are interested in coming into employment with the district government, but also anyone who in college has an internship requirement, I would expect that the college would assist them with identifying. I'm a social worker, and part of my graduate work in social work here at Howard University was completing 2 years of practicum, and Howard worked very closely with the community to identify appropriate experiences in the community. So I would expect Salisbury would do the same thing. But we do have in the district government internship programs for people who are interested in coming to work for us.
Let me ask you, Deborah, does your son have a disability?
No, he doesn't have a disability.
Okay.
No, sir.
Okay, yeah, because that's one of the things that we're really focusing on, employment opportunities for those with disabilities. But but we appreciate you supporting your son and being a mother.
Right.
Well, always checking.
Might have to... This is Jeffrey Swilley. I'd like to offer a suggestion as well. This may not be related to internships, but employment opportunities through the America Job Center Network. There's a site. I don't know where your son resides or where you reside, but this is a national system, the America Job Centers, and you may find one within 5 to 10 miles of your home, and they can provide some employment opportunities. We have one in kind in Largo, our America Job Center Largo, at 1801 McCormick Drive. So they could get a whole host of resources and guidance in how to connect with various employers. We try to bridge the gap between job seekers and employers at these centers.
And what's it called again?
America Job Centers.
American or America?
American Job Centers.
American Job Centers. Well, there you go. Thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Sharon, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Sharon. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to speak with you regarding the barriers that are in place for D.C. residents. Although I am a client of RSA, and I've applied both public and governmental agencies and disclosed when necessary there has been a barrier with finding work. You wouldn't know that I have a disability. However, there are some barriers. And because I have the diagnosis that I have, they come in spurts.
What so can you share with us, Sharon, what your disability is?
From my knowledge, and would be working with RSA, getting an intern and getting into a program to assist me to get to have employment opportunities and become permanent, even though I have tenure in the government.
Sharon, did you hear my question?
No.
I was asking what is your disability that you may or may not disclose as you're going through the employment process?
I have lupus.
I see.
And I have hearing impairment.
I see. Okay. Andrew?
And so I guess the one thing I would recommend is it's very important, as you say, you're already connected. RSA is the Rehabilitation Services Administration, which is part of the Department on Disability Services. And their job is to help people with disabilities in the district obtain, maintain, or advance in employment. And so if you are already connected, I'd encourage you to work closely with your counselor. We also have staff who are business relations and employment specialists who help people to identify employment. And if there are concerns that you have, to elevate it beyond your counselor, each of them has, as we all do, have a supervisor, and work with them, because our goal for everyone that we support at RSA is to see them become employed and become contributing members in the district.
Okay. Sharon, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I do want to talk a little bit about how far we've come since the ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act. One of the things that we have seen a great deal of is military veterans who have returned home after the Gulf Wars and the wars in Afghanistan, and how over the past 20 years or so, scientific advancements in prosthetics, for example, have really helped change the stigma attached to people with obvious physical disabilities. Can you talk a little bit about that, Andrew?
Well, and you know, that's actually the sort of beginning of vocational rehabilitation was the First World War, when it was people returning to the workforce who'd been in the First World War and had injuries and had to then figure out a new career, had to see, you know, what were their abilities now? While they may have had an injury that prevents them from doing the work they did before, our job is to help people identify what their strengths and abilities are and identify what they could do as they move forward. And we're fortunate in the district. We have not only we coordinate closely both with the VA as well as the District Veterans Office of Veterans Affairs here in D.C. And we have VR counselors who are in their office to work directly with people to try and help them identify training they may need to reenter the workforce if, because of their involvement in the service, it has created a disability that then causes them to need to identify now a different line of work than they may have had before they went into the service.
Robin, do you think your attitude has helped in some small way in addressing the stigma attached to people who are living with disabilities?
My attitude?
Your positive attitude. Well, if you, you know, if you work with Robin, you know, sometimes she does have an attitude, but that's not what I meant.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know. You know what I mean. When you do have,
yeah,
you know, you do have a positive, you know, attitude. But you know, outside, I think of the workplace, when you may have had an opportunity to come mm-hmm. in contact with people who may have you know, disabilities, who may be reticent to talk about this. You know, how do mm-hmm. you know, or people who are not disabled who have questions.
You're right. Yes, I think so. Okay. I have this mantra that I, it's funny that my mother and I came up with, that is,
It's that we say the arm is the charm. And the reason we say that is because many times when I'm out at an event and I'm shooting and I'm working, I could be juggling different pieces of equipment at one time. And people are watching me work. And people are watching how, you know, I adapt to certain things and how I work. And many times I get pulled to the side and people say, hey, I just want to let you know I've been watching you, you know, and it's very admirable what you're doing. And it's just so interesting. They ask me questions about my disability. Was this something I was born with? Did it happen over time? And they ask me how I got into the field that I'm in. And they just ask me what challenges I face. Well, they also talk about some of the challenges they're facing. So I do see a number of people. I've worked with a lot of celebrities over the years, and they tend to remember me. Say if I worked with them 10 to 15 years ago and they see me again, they're like, I saw you. I saw you at this award show, or I saw you at this event. It's good to see that you're still in the business. And they sometimes open up about their challenges and things of that nature. So I do believe that when they see how I have adapted well to my disability, it inspires them, and, you know, it allows them to open up and to share their own stories. Many times I've spoken to classes with younger kids about, you know, my disability and about how I adapt. So I believe so. I believe so. It does help. Individuals, yeah.
And from your perspective, Jeffrey, and I'm not talking about the legal piece, the ADA and making sure that they're following the law, but as far as attitudes of employers and the hiring managers that are going to be at this event tomorrow, how have you, from your perspective, seen a change in the way that people with disabilities are viewed as employees or prospective contributors to a company?
Well, considering the economy that we have, the workforce, low unemployment rates that we are dealing with, 4% or lower, most employers are looking for solutions, workforce solutions, and that could come from any variety of sources. Persons with disabilities and skill sets, proven skill sets, are a legitimate opportunity for them to fill the skill gaps that they're seeking for their job openings. So the reception is, for instance, the number of employers that have gravitated to this event for tomorrow or registered for this event, they were very engaged with participating and desiring to be there because they see it as a resource, an opportunity to fill the jobs that they have.
How many employers are we talking about for tomorrow?
We have 17 job employers coming out tomorrow, but they represent at least 100 jobs. We have currently 100 individuals pre-registered for the event, but we're allowing persons to walk in and register as well. So the opportunities are plentiful, we think. And also we are engaged with these employers beyond the job fair and other employers as well. So at the American Job Center, LAGO, and the other American Job Centers throughout the nation, persons can come into the center and receive the services of connecting with employers, training opportunities, and other resources like job readiness, skill sets, basic computer skills training as well within the American Job Center. So this is a special event for tomorrow for this customized approach, but on a daily basis, persons can benefit for the resources at the American Job Center LAGO.
And as Jeffrey says, there are American Job Centers across the country, including four here in the district. And so people can find an American Job Center close to their home in D.C. if they're a district resident by going to does.dc.gov.
Okay. And to kind of piggyback on that, Andrew, one of the things when you talk about the change in the perception of people with disabilities, and I'm talking about those who who have disabilities that are more obvious than, you know, than others. We not only see this in the job place, but I think we see it in pop culture. You know, we see it in commercials. We see it in television programs, and we see it in, I would even argue that, some of these people are being more visible because you don't have people pointing, gasping. It has become an acceptable part of life in this country.
You know, that's a really good point, because the other administration within Department on Disability Services is our Developmental Disabilities Administration. Mm-hmm. And one of the advances in the last few years has been what's referred to as the new settings rule for home and community-based services. What we really focus on is ensuring that people with disabilities are fully included in the community, so that we no longer have people with more significant disabilities in a hospital or an institution, but living in the community and participating in the community. Rather than going to a separate day program, they should be able to identify at their local rec center a class that they're interested in taking, or they should be able to engage in work like the rest of us do during the day, or engage in the evening in the kinds of recreational activities we all do, go to their local public library, go out to a bar in the evening. We have really been working on making sure that people with more significant disabilities are fully included in our community. And you're exactly right. What has changed and needs to change more is the recognition that they are members of our community and that they should be included, so that when they come in, the staff person doesn't look at a person who's with them to talk with them, rather than the person, the resident who's coming in wanting to use the services, that we learn to deal with them, you know, as full members of our community.
But I think the reality is that even though there has been a great deal of progress over the past 19 years, there are still some obstacles, whether it's outright discrimination, there are prejudices and the like, but even some that may be considerably less insidious, things that a lot of people may not think about. Do you have any idea what some of those things may be, how we can get over this, the little humps to make this a better process?
That is our real challenge. It's what we're confronting now. And it's the simple things like treating every person we come up, every person we encounter as another person, as a full, equal, other human being, and recognizing the strengths that they bring. Regardless of how they communicate with us, we work with some people who have really significant disabilities who may not communicate using words, but they are able to communicate, so that people who know them well are able to understand what their wants and needs are and then help them to accomplish those things. We have people with very significant disabilities fully engaged in the community. Someone was telling me about a movie theater that I believe is in Prince George's County, where the person who is a ticket taker has a very significant disability, and the people at the cash register begin the process of tearing the ticket so that he can take the tickets and tear it the rest of the way. I mean, this is how the community comes together to fully include that person, because he's contributing and working and really contributing to his community and being part of it. And as more people are able to do that, we're able to see that they're just other people.
Jeffrey, from your perspective, what do you think is the future of employment for people with disabilities? Do you see a bright future? How would you characterize it?
Yes, I'm seeing a very bright future. As you suggested, there's hurdles that have to be overcome. Impressions that some employers may have are not receptive to bringing persons in with disabilities. But in general, most employers that we're encountering are looking for opportunity to be inclusive and improve their diversity. Mm-hmm. As Andrew was suggesting, being responsible community members and letting those persons of all walks become a part of their organizations. So I'm having those conversations, and the future is bright for all job seekers, especially persons with disabilities.
What do you think, Robin? What's the future like for, you know, for people with disabilities? I mean, again, you're just, you know, really a shining example for someone who is just, you know, just stepping forward and just being a great light at the end of the tunnel for a lot of people who may consider themselves not worthy.
I believe that, you know, the possibilities are endless. Of course, you know, there are different types of disabilities, and some individuals are more challenged than others. But honestly, I think that, you know, as the workforce changes and we're mirroring our community and what the world actually looks like, I think that, you know, the possibilities are endless. And I'm excited that this diversity is being embraced on a larger level. And, you know, the possibilities are endless.
Thank you again, Robin, for spending some time with us on the program. And certainly I'll be seeing you tomorrow and certainly ribbing you like I do every day.
I look forward to it.
No, she doesn't. I want to thank all of my guests, Andrew Reese, Jeffrey Swilly, and, of course, Robin Akinwale, for having this really important conversation. And, of course, this information regarding the job fair, which is from 8:30 to 1 in the afternoon at Employed Prince George's at 1801 McCormick Drive in Largo, Maryland. The link to the website will be on our website on WHUR.com after 8:30, as well as the podcast. So again, thank you all so much for participating in this conversation.
Thank you for having us.
That is The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Tuesday, October 29th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.